Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We're always so excited for the spring training games to start. And then as soon as they start, I'm like, oh, can we get to the regular season, please? I want games that matter. And I can't wait for. And I can't wait for a full 162 this year. I'm sure Matt Underwood is looking forward to that as well, the play-by-play voice of the Indians. With us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Matt, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks, Bull. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing well. I'm really anxious and looking forward to getting back to work. And as you said, hoping for a full season. Last year under the circumstances was fine, but I'm really hoping we can get a full 162 in this year. And I think we will. I really feel confident that the way things are going, the protocols, and see, everybody went through it last year. I think we're in a pretty good spot, so hopefully that all stays true.
Yeah. Will you, as of now, Matt, is the plan that you will be traveling and that everybody's going to be traveling like normal years, or do we not know yet for sure?
No, it's look, I think everything, as everyone I'm sure can totally understand, everything is fluid and could certainly change. But as we head into the season, the plan will be for us to broadcast as we did a year ago, which means – we'll do all the games from home, the home games in the ballpark as usual. The road games we'll do out of the studio. So at this point, we will not be traveling with the ball club. But that, you know, again, maybe that changes if things really go well during the season, during the summer months. We'll have to wait and see. But we will be traveling, though, next month to Arizona. We're going to go to Goodyear and televise about a half dozen games beginning on St. Patrick's Day. So we will be out there, and we'll get a good look at the ball club and be able to bring some fans some spring training baseball next month.
That's great. Yeah, hopefully at some point you guys will be able to travel. I mean, I know you'd rather travel, of course. You'd rather be at the game. But the good thing is, you know, I know the governor announcing yesterday 30%, and I think that's going to happen at least this year at our ballpark, and hopefully at all ballparks. We'll have at least 30%, and you know, I'm optimistic. Maybe with the vaccine, you know, more and more people getting vaccinated, and maybe by late in the season, we're even at 50% or more than that, possibly. Yeah, but it'll be good to at least have some fans in the stands this year.
Yeah, I think it will. Regardless, as you said, regardless. Yeah. I mean, we've had games. I guarantee. I can tell you, we've had games where it was far less than capacity, but for whatever reason, the people that were there were really into the game. And so when you have people in the ballpark, regardless of the number, and they start making noise, it just changes the whole atmosphere. I mean, I've talked to at least a half dozen, if not more, players on the Zoom calls here recently. And one of the questions I asked all of them is, like, kind of take me through, what was it like last year? And all of them said, it was just strange. It was bizarre. Oscar Mercado told me, he said, man, I remember a game against Kansas City. I'm walking up to the plate, winning runs at third. I think the bases were loaded. And he said, I'm expecting the crowd to be up, and I'm looking around. Like I said, this is just strange. And so all of the players, to a man, echoed those sentiments. It was just weird. Certainly when you're, you know, when you dig into the plate, or, you know, when you're in your position defensively, you're not thinking about that. But it's those moments in between that just you look around and you go, man, this is really strange. So just getting some bodies back in the ballpark, you know, 86, the fake crowd noise. Hey, I get it, for 1 year, it was fine, but we need to get back to the real deal, and hopefully we'll have that this year.
Yeah, no doubt. You talk about games that are played in front of a crowd that's not a full crowd. And yet it's still, you know, a lot of noise. I think back to the game where Jason Giambi hit that walk-off home run the year the Indians went to the wild card. Remember they won? Of course you remember.
It was against the White Sox, yeah.
Right, against the White Sox.
Yeah, yep.
And they won a bunch of games at the end of the year to get into the playoffs. And I was in the stands for that Giambi game. I don't remember how many people. It certainly wasn't full. But that was one of the most exciting moments in the regular season ever. And the place was electric off that game, even though it wasn't a full house. I mean, I don't remember how many people were there, but it certainly wasn't full.
Yeah. You just need that. You need those live, you know, emotions, reactions, that energy, both good and bad. Because the guys were telling me sometimes when you're on the road, you know, when they were on the, you know, at Comerica Park, or they were in Chicago, you're expecting people to hoot on you and yell at you. And there wasn't any of that. So that was weird. It was weird, you know, on both sides. So I think just having, and I think fans are chomping at the bit to just get back, have a cold beer and you know, cheer for their favorite team, yell at the guys they can't stand, whatever the case may be. They need that outlet this year as much as we do.
No doubt. And it was a frustrating offseason for Indians fans. I mean, it got better at the end when they add Rosario and re-sign Hernandez. But certainly to see Lindor in particular, but to a lesser degree Carrasco and Santana, but especially Lindor leave, that's painful for the fans, man, no doubt. What's it like for you to when you see pictures of him, if you have, in that Mets uniform?
That's no good. That's no good. Yeah. You know, when you see a guy in a different uniform, when you're used to seeing him in your colors, it never looks right.
Yeah.
I know it will over time. You'll get used to it like everything else. But it's the difficult reality of professional sports. And it really doesn't matter what team you're a fan of, what player you adore, there's a real good chance that guy's not going to play his entire career in one uniform. It's just, it's the nature of the way sports business has evolved over the years. I talked to Sandy Alomar recently about this. You know, when he was a player, you know, they had a hell of a team that went to the World Series in 1995. And the very next year, one of his close friends, Carlos Baerga, was traded away.
Yeah.
The year after that, Albert Bell walks in free agency. So, you know, it becomes the harsh reality. It's difficult to go through it, but, you know, I've seen this time and time again. And the one thing that I hold on to is the fact that, you know, we've got some really smart guys that run the baseball operations side of things that won't sit and cry in their beer over this. They're going to get to work and try to figure out the best way to keep this team competitive, to keep them in the thick of things. And on top of all that, you're trying to do this in the midst of a pandemic where, you know, if revenues weren't already down, they're down even farther. So there just isn't a lot of, you know, capital resources to throw at the problem right now. And I think Chris and his guys do a fantastic job. And, you know, you do cling to the fact that they've got good, young, competitive pitching, which is going to keep you in games. And I think this spring will be interesting to see who emerges for the outfield spots, because they've definitely got some slack to pick up.
No doubt. You talk about Chris and Mike, who run the front office, and they are amongst the best, if not the best in the game. I agree. And another advantage the Indians have is they have one of, if not the best manager in baseball. The Indians have never been under 500 since Terry Francona has been here. The worst year was 2015 at 81-80. And, you know, clearly on paper, they don't look like a team that's going to win in the 90s, but you never know, right? And if they're going to be competitive, you talk about the pitching. That's going to be it, right? If they're going to be in the mix for the playoffs, I think it's going to come down to that starting pitching, where there's very little experience with Carrasco traded, Bieber leading the way, and guys like McKenzie and Plesac and Savali and, you know, whoever ends up being the fifth starter, kind of, not to be cliche, but stepping up, because I think that starting rotation in particular has got to lead them to contention, Matt, don't you think?
Yeah, I think the starting rotation has to be really good, and I think on to take it a step further, you know, you've got, okay, Bieber, obviously Cy Young Award winner. You know, he has some experience, and he has the track record of being able to, you know, to pitch a full season. But you have a lot of young pitchers that don't have that 200-inning bedrock of experience under their belt. And so I think what you're going to have is maybe a staff that goes 8-9 deep at times, because, you know, Tristan McKenzie's wonderful, but, you know, at some point the innings threshold is going to hit for him. And the same thing with a lot of these guys. So it will be incumbent upon Tito and Carl Willis and Sandy and all those guys who do a wonderful job, to be able to mix and match so that you can use some of these young players, young pitchers, and there may be guys that we haven't seen yet, like Sam Hentges, Scott Moss, some young pitchers who might get their first opportunities this year, you know, to make a few spot starts here and there to help stretch this thing out. So that's going to be interesting to see how that all comes together as well. And, of course, this is all predicated upon the old axiom of if everybody stays healthy. This is
sure.
This is obviously a ball club that, you know, cannot afford any catastrophic injuries. Not many teams can, but I think the Indians in particular, you know, they've got to try and avoid that, hopefully, and hopefully they will.
No doubt. And you look, you talk about the innings thresholds. You know, you look at the Twins, who I don't love their starting pitching, but, you know, guys like Happ and Matt Shoemaker and Kenta Maeda, who are veteran pitchers, those guys, they're not going to worry as much about their innings coming off a year where nobody pitched much because they're veteran pitchers, whereas the Indians have all young pitchers, without an exception, in their starting rotation. And Bieber's, you know, even Bieber, who pitched a ton for how short a season it was, didn't pitch that many innings in the grand scheme of things. So you're right. It's going to be – there's a lot of teams that are going to use 6, 7, 8 starters even without injuries.
Yeah, and I think that's where this organization has done a really good job, at least in my opinion. You know, over this, you talk about this 8-year stretch where they've been one of the winningest teams in baseball, that they have developed pitchers and position players to a degree, not as much as on the pitching side, to where when they pluck a guy from the minor leagues and say, hey, we need you to come up and make a start, none of these guys, think back, Savali, Tristan McKenzie, I'm talking about just recent memory, and going back, you know, even further when Bieber first stepped up and of course, Zach Plesac, none of these guys ever look overmatched. They don't look wowed by the moment. They all seem really prepared to step in and help. And that's where this organization has done a good job. And maybe that does give them a slight advantage, at least in that category. And hopefully that's something that they can lean on this year. And I'm excited because there are some of these young names that we haven't had a chance to see yet. And maybe this is the year that they'll get their opportunity. And every team in baseball went through a season where you didn't have any minor league experience last year. So, you know, the Indians aren't the only team in that situation where you had guys that didn't get a full season of development. And that's, you can't go back and redo it, but it's something that, you know, you have to take into consideration as this season unfolds.
We're talking with Indians play-by-play man Matt Underwood. Matt, I talked about some of the losses from this team, but another one is Brad Hand, right, who, you know, early last year we were all worried. I know I was worried. I thought he was going to implode last year. It looked like at the end of 2019 he was starting to go, and his first appearance or two last year was bad, but then he really pitched well the rest of the season, very well. James Karinchak, outside of that 3 or 4 day stretch where he couldn't throw it over the plate, was great, but now he's the closer, and as we've seen many times with young pitchers, sometimes they, you know, as good as they are, they get a chance to close, and they're just, for whatever reason, can't do it. Are you confident that he will be able to lock down that job?
I'm confident he'll lock down the job, and I don't think it is unreasonable to expect him to go through some of those growing pains, as you just explained. I mean, look, no closer outside of, it may be Mariano Rivera, is going to be perfect, right? Even the best of the best today, you know, have their moments where you have a bad week. I think the key is, you know, I look back to Cody Allen, who's the best the Indians have ever really had in terms of statistics anyway. And Cody was always able to minimize the bad stretches and pitch through it. And so, you know, when the problem too with the closer is sometimes you might go 5, 6, 7, 8 days where you don't have any save situations. And then you might get used 4 or 5 times in a week. So sometimes it's hard to stay sharp, and that's where the learning process for Karinchak will come into play, and he'll figure that out. And I think he'll also figure out, to be more of an attack pitcher. I think one of the lessons he learned a year ago was when you come into the game, you have to throw strike one. It sounds simple and it sounds, you know, rudimentary, but there were times where he came in and was trying to be too perfect with those early pitches, and all of a sudden it's 2-0, it's 3-1. You don't want to face hitters with the game on the line and pitch from behind. And I think he'll learn from those, and I do feel confident that he will evolve and take over that role and really run with it. But that's not to say that there may not be a hiccup or two along the way, and that's why it's nice to have a guy with experience like Nick Whitgren who can step in there, and who knows, maybe Emmanuel Clase, now that he's back with the stuff he has, he could even be a guy that could help out in some of those late-inning situations too.
Matt, how important is it? The Indians made a couple of late signings to the bullpen, including bringing back Oliver Perez and even Blake Parker, who's new to this team. But they're really – I know Whitgren's – I think this will be Whitgren's sixth season in the big leagues. But Perez and Parker, and especially Perez, are seasoned veterans. And the Indians have very little experience in their pitching staff, period. How important was it to add those guys on minimum contracts to have a little veteran – knowledge out there in the pen, especially?
I don't think you can understate it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Bull, I mean, when I don't know Blake Parker. Hopefully get a chance, over the Zoom calls and at some point maybe in person to get to know him a little better. But I know Oliver Perez is a guy that is really, maybe revered is too strong a word, but those guys really look up to him. He's not a guy who just flaps his gum. You know, when he has something to say, they listen, and he's a really good leader for the younger guys, and he does it in a very straightforward manner. Not a lot of BS with him, and so if guys need something, they can go to him. He's not going to step out of bounds and overstep things. But you need those guys who A, can lead by example, and B, have the knowledge to pass on to some of those pitchers. Because let's face it, when you talk about guys in the bullpen, there's a lot of sitting around watching the game. You know, for the first 5-6 innings on most nights, they're just sitting out there watching. And they're not just, watching people in the stands and throwing paper airplanes and spitting seeds. They're talking the game. And when you have the veterans out there, that's where a lot of that knowledge is passed down, because they'll just look at hitters and say, how would you pitch this guy? What are you thinking here? And those are the things that help guys develop along the course of a season, and then, of course, over time as well. So it's important to add those veterans, but they have to be able to pitch too. You still have to be able to do your job. And Ollie was great and has been for a couple of years now, and at 39 years old, I don't know how much more he's got left in the tank, but he's been something else.
It's really amazing, Matt. I every time I mention Oliver Perez, I think back to when I was working in New York, part-time on the Fan in New York from 2007 to early 2011. And Oliver Perez was, for the most part, a bad starter at the time for the Mets. He had one good year for them, but he was, a couple of seasons, he was just atrocious. He was awful. And I remember I was just crushing him on the air. I'm like, this guy can't pitch. He's terrible. And then he moves to the bullpen, and for the most part, he's been very, very good as a relief pitcher now for many, many years. I would have never guessed 14 years ago when I was ripping him on the air that he'd still be pitching. But going to the pen saved his career, and he became a really good, solid reliever for a decade plus. It's amazing.
He's truly one of those guys that – and I don't think you can do this in many other sports, but he reinvented himself.
Yeah.
If you're an offensive lineman in football, you're an offensive lineman. There's no reinventing yourself. But as a pitcher, he was able to sort of reinvent himself by – changing speeds, changing deliveries. I mean, he's throwing anything and everything possible to try to, throw off the timing of the hitter. And as you said, he's been able to extend his career and again, pass on a lot of knowledge and be a good, veteran presence in that clubhouse.
Matt, we've been so much time here. I didn't even really talk about the lineup much, but one thing real quick, because we're late, but leadership, right? We talked about Ollie in the bullpen, but I look at the Indians, you would know better than me, and I think, well, Santana, Carrasco, and Lindor had to be three of the biggest leaders on the team. So who steps into those roles? I'm sure Perez is probably someone, but who else do you see stepping into some of those roles?
Well, on the pitching side, Shane Bieber is the leader, okay?
Okay.
He's the guy, the workhorse. Everybody's looking at him. He's the Cy Young Award winner. And I think on the position side, look, Jose Ramirez has a different chance to lead now because Lindor's not there. Posey's not going to, stand up and give big speeches, but he leads by example, by the energy he brings, by the way he goes about it every single day. And yes, I agree with you. There is a little bit of a void, but what it is not something to run from. It's something to embrace. There's an opportunity for some of these players to step forward and prove that they can be the next leader of this ball club. And that's something I'm going to be watching very closely this year.
Great stuff, Matt. I'm so excited baseball's back. I know you are too. I'm hoping you get to travel at some point this year. Have fun down in Arizona in a few weeks, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Bull. Appreciate it as always. Have a great day.
You too. Matt Underwood.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.